Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
The yeas are 220, the nays are 215. The bill is passed.
That's Congressman Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, announcing the passage of health care reform legislation Saturday night. Now, before that historic vote and all the cheering, the House also voted on an amendment to health care reform legislation that would prohibit federal funding to abortion in health care. I think a cause for even greater cheering. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first segment of this hour of Issues Etc. talking with Congressman Bart Stupak about that amendment and its passage. Then we'll talk to international human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about a European human rights decision that would forbid the display of crucifixes in public schools in Italy. We'll find out what he thinks about that. Then we'll conclude today's program on this Monday, November the 9th, talking about an attack by a Muslim soldier at Fort Hood, Texas. Our guest will be Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. Congressman Bart Stupak serves the 1st Congressional District in Michigan. He's co-sponsor of an amendment to the House health care reform bill that prohibits abortion funding by the federal government. Congressman Stupak, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Strikes me you're a bit of a man without a party, perhaps. Where are you more unpopular nowadays, the Republican Party or your own party?
That's a toss-up. probably my own my own party.
Why is that?
Oh, well, because, you know, most of my party is pro-choice, and they just never thought that I would get the votes, and they never thought I'd be able to convince leadership to give me my amendment, and they took me lightly, and it's probably one of the most critical votes we've had in the pro-life movement in many, many years, and they are just beside themselves, and they had predicted that before the vote that they would easily defeat my amendment, and they're sort of in the state of denial right now, and so the long knives and the venom is coming out, and I'm a very unpopular person.
Why did you and other pro-life Democrats hold the line?
Well, it's principles we went on. I know there's a lot of discussions that, oh, we did this for this or that. And no, it's always been a principle we've lived by. Our members have lived by, the 64 members who voted with me. That has always been our position. And our Republican friends, we've always had a strong distaste for public funding of abortion. That is not federal law. They're trying to change federal law. And as much as they want to try to deny it, they drastically changed federal law in this health care bill. My amendment stripped those changes out and put the Hyde language in it, which says no public funding for abortion and no public funding for insurance policies that pay for abortions. And they are, they are just beside themselves that we would do this.
Do you think that the leadership of the Democratic Party was successful in trying to portray your opposition, the opposition of the pro-life Democrats, as opposition to health care in general?
No. By the size of the vote, I mean, no. They tried to say I'm changing current law. They're trying to say I'm going beyond Hyde. They're trying to say private insurers can no longer offer abortion coverage. They can't. They just can't use public funds. They tried to distort it. In fact, a number of members were a little upset at the debate that took on the floor because the pro-choice people were clearly not telling the truth.
I heard it asserted that there are concerns among pro-choice Democrats that somehow what did pass is going to incrementally restrict a woman's access to abortion. Your
not
response?
At all. Not at all. Even a woman who would receive affordability credits to buy health insurance for their family, if they find themselves in a situation and if they ever, heaven forbid, but thought about getting an abortion, they can still do it. They can even buy a supplemental policy. I cannot change that part of the law as much as I wish I could. I cannot prevent a private contract between an individual and an insurance company to provide services. The only thing I can restrict, and the only thing our amendment, the Stupak Amendment, restricted, was don't use my tax dollars to pay for it. No public funding for abortion. But I can't restrict private insurance companies. I cannot restrict private individuals going into hospitals or clinics and having the service done. I cannot do that according to U.S. law. So I did not expand or anything like that of the current law.
Congressman Stupak, we heard from the president. We heard from other leaders in pro-choice leaders in the Democratic Party that the health care reform bill as it was wouldn't have significantly changed anything about federal funding for abortion. Respond to that if you would.
No, they're wrong in three ways. Number one, for the first time ever, federal government was recognizing abortion as a service that would be available to everyone. Secondly, underneath the proposal written, even if you receive affordability credits, you would segregate it, some accounting gimmick, but you could get abortion services. Third, everyone who is in the public option, if you go into public option for health care, $1 per month for every man, woman, and child in that has to go to pay for abortion services. Fourth, whether you're in a public option or the exchange, at least one policy in each must offer abortion services as a covered benefit. So there's three or four ways in which they change current law. Current law is very clear. No public funding for abortion and no public funding for health insurance policies that provide abortion. So there was a radical change. And as much as they want to deny it, they would say no public dollars because we segregate the money out. We didn't believe that for 1 minute.
Have you managed to stop this, or is the issue of public funding for abortion going to rear its head again as the bill goes forward through the long process it faces to the president's desk?
Well, what we were able to do with this, we've really got people focused, all these denials about, oh, there isn't, there, and now they're taking their look at the language, and now they're saying, oh, maybe there was. So I think, and with the size of vote we received, with 64 Democrats joining Republicans to pass this amendment, I think it says that, look, we got a problem here. We better start addressing it. If not, Stupak and the guys will be back again going after this legislation. And so I think they're going to proceed cautiously, and hopefully they just leave my language alone, and they can do that, just recede to the House language, or work with us so we have acceptable language so we do not have public funding for abortion.
I don't know if you're at liberty to talk about this, but what kind of incentive was offered to you or your other pro-life Democrats to step off the opposition and compromise in this respect?
There really wasn't anything along those lines. The best they were going to give us was, okay, we'll strip all the language about the public option. The public option is a public federally funded program, therefore we cannot, we'll give you that. But then when it comes to the private plans in the exchange, whether or not abortion funding is provided there with affordability credits would depend upon the year-to-year appropriation process. A yearly, in other words, we have to have this fight every year on an appropriation bill. And we were uncomfortable going there, but as a backup plan, that was sort of our fallback position. But then, then after we sort of reached an agreement on those principles, the leadership then reneged on that agreement. So then they wanted me to stay with the agreement. In other words, I had to have restricted my amendment, but they backed out of the agreement, so I said, forget it. If I'm running an amendment, it's going to be my full amendment, which is no public funding, period, whether it's a public option or whether it's the private plans. There's no public option, or should I say no public funding for abortion.
You said at the beginning that the long knives are out. Do you anticipate any repercussions from your party?
Oh, yeah, I'm already getting people in my district who are being asked to run against me in the Democratic primary. They have some websites which are trying to raise money to defeat me or my opponent. There's petitions out against me. Yeah, I'm catching it.
How difficult is it to be a pro-life Democrat, Congressman Stupak?
Well, in my district, it may not be too bad. My district's pretty much 50-50, but once you get out and start dealing in party politics, it's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult. That's why I have a lot of respect for the members who hung with me and stuck with us, and we hung together. We all hung together, so the leadership knew that we weren't joking. We're serious about our positions, and we weren't backing down. If they want health care, they had to deal with us.
We have heard, we've talked with organizations like Democrats for Life. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yep.
And they have, their spokespersons have said, there's a possibility in the future someday of the Democratic Party actually having a real place for a pro-life constituency, if not really moving toward in the pro-life direction. Do you share that sentiment?
Yes, and I almost, you know, we're the reason why Democrats are back in charge is because of pro-life members in rural districts like mine that were able to win these seats, and that's why Speaker Pelosi is the Speaker and the Senate's Harry Reid's the Senate majority. The party has to, I hope they realize that there's no more seats they can get in the cities. In fact, you're probably going to be losing seats in the cities, and the base of our country is moving more and more out in the suburbs and the rural areas, and Democratic members who are pro-life and would vote like they did the other night are invaluable. It keeps the Democratic Party in the majority, and anything that they need passed, they can't do it without the pro-life Democrats. I mean, they just can't get it done without us. As the vote the other night showed, they might get 190 pro-choice people, but you need 218 to win. To get to those last 20, 30 votes, you need us rural conservative Democrats.
Congressman Bart Stupak of Michigan's 1st Congressional District is co-sponsor of an amendment to the House health care reform bill that prohibits abortion funding by the federal government. Congressman Stupak, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to be our guest. We'll talk with him about a European human rights decision that forbids the display of crucifixes in public schools in Italy. We'll see what he thinks about that. It's Monday, November the 9th, here on Issues Etc. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at IssuesETC.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. IssuesETC.org. Click on demand.